Well, good morning, folks, and welcome to Central again. And I need to say this because I didn't say it last week. Welcome to Central. It's a Jesus church where everyone is welcome, where no one is perfect, and everyone is loved, and of course, where anything is possible. It's an amazing thing to be able to join you in this way, and we thank God for that. I know it's strange. I know it's different, and I miss you. I really miss you, and I hope you miss me a little bit as well. I look forward to the day when we sit in this church together, and I don't look at empty pews, but I really see you. So what I do in my mind's eye when I'm preaching is I just look out and I remember that's where George sits, and that's where Marion sits, and I just look at you as if you are sitting in this place. I pray that God has blessed you in this week, that you are safe, that you are healthy, that you're taking good care of yourself, and thank you for that. We're also being good stewards of what God has given us, and we thank you that we can, in this way, reach out to your homes. Just check the website. Often we will keep it updated. There's a banner that says COVID-19 update. If you click on that, it'll give you all the information about what we are doing and what we are not doing. Places where you can find help and all that, it's all on there. It's easy as a click away. So please go check the website often. I will do a podcast or a little message for you every Tuesday. It'll be on the website. And I'll send you an email every Thursday with an update from the church and all the things that are going on. We meet on Zoom as a management team every week to discuss the way forward. So know that we're busy, that we're working, that we're continuing the work. Thank you that you pray for all of us who are leaders in the church. Thank you that you pray for everyone who is a leader. Those who are leaders in schools, those who are leaders at the hospitals, those who are leaders of our countries. Everyone needs our prayers in this time, and thank you for doing that. So bow your head with me before we start worship this morning. Father God, thank you that you are our Father in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And thank you, Lord, that this might feel a little strange for us, but we know that you are fine with this. Because wherever we are in our homes, we are worshiping you. We are coming into your holy presence and inviting you, Lord, to be part of every part of our lives. I pray for your blessing on this day. I pray for your blessing on our people. I pray for your blessing on the words that you will give. In a few moments, we're going to worship you. And yes, we're sitting in our own homes, and sometimes we don't know the words, but you know, Lord, that our hearts are in this. You're an amazing God. And whether it's dark or whether the sun shines, whether we are afraid or whether we are overjoyed, we know that we are safe with you. For you are God. You are our God. And nothing changes that. We bring you glory, we bring you honor. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So please worship with us.
I hope that these songs are going to be an encouragement to you. I pray that you'll be able to not just listen and watch, but you're going to be able to really enter in. We pray God's Spirit will be present in each of your homes. Just give these songs to God and put your focus on Him. As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name
the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength shelter like no other, your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
We declare once again this day, Heavenly Father, that it's your name that is strong and mighty. You are the strong tower we can run into you. We praise you for your awesome name, Jesus. We lift you up and praise you this day.
Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name. It's a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name. Let the nations sing it louder, 'cause nothing has the power to save but your name.
Yes, your name. We praise your name. Yes, your name.
Majesty. majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve, I live to serve your majesty. Your majesty,
our voices and our hearts and our lives to you in these moments. For we need to worship, Lord. It is a longing in our heart and a need in our soul. Like that deer that pants for the water, our souls, Lord, long for you. And in a world in which right now we really have to distance ourselves from each other so that we can heal, we thank you that we do not have to distance ourselves from you. For Lord, you are in us and you live in us. You are right there when we need. And we say, Jesus, I need you every moment. And you are there, Lord Jesus. You are right there. You understand when we are lonely. You understand when we are upside down and downside up. you get when we just feel this need to connect. And we thank you, God, that you are there. Thank you that above all of this, Lord, you are above all of this. You never change. You are always the same. And you, Lord, you are in control. And our lives are safe in you, and we thank you for that. Again, in this morning, as we listen for your word and you give a word to us, we pray that this word will go into our hearts and lives, and it will lift us up and make us strong and carry us through the week. But thank you that it's not just in this moment that we have your word, but every moment when we just take the word and we open and we read, and you are there and you speak. As always, Holy Spirit of God, our prayer is that you will be in each of our homes as we gather together this morning and as we worship together. Thank you that you anoint these moments. Thank you that you move mightily in our hearts and in our homes and in our gatherings. You are such an amazing God. And in these moments, as we sing these words again, Lord, you know that they come from our hearts. Jesus, I need you. Every moment, I need you. More than ever, Lord, we need you. Thank you that you answer this prayer. Thank you that you fill our hearts and lives, that you fill each home this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hear now this graceful heart.
It is always a joy to share the word of the Lord with you. I'm going to take you to a psalm this morning, Psalm 3. And we don't have the words on the screen because we don't have all the people to do that. We're being good stewards of God's people. So take your Bibles. You're going to have a second to go do that. So remember, every week when we do the live stream, you need your Bible there. It's easy to find the Psalms if you open your Bible in the middle. Usually it opens up at the Psalms. It's an interesting thing. Psalm 3, really easy to find. As we walk through this Psalm this morning, you will see that this Psalm will confront us with the realities of life in all of its facets. It's going to walk us through moments of fear and crisis and hurt. It'll also take us to a moment of rest in God and experiencing the care of God. Now, before I read you the psalm, I need to give you a little bit of background. If you open your Bible, you see under the heading it says, David wrote the psalm when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. So that gives us a little bit of the setting. But let me give you the setting, and here's a little bit of homework. Because right now we're all in our homes, right? So you have nowhere to go. Please don't go anywhere. So this afternoon after lunch, you take your Bible and you go to 2 Samuel chapter 15 to 18. And you go read those. 2 Samuel 15 to 18. It's only four chapters. But it will really give you the flesh of what we're going to speak about this morning, give you the background to the psalm. I'm going to give you the Coles Notes, just so you have a little bit of what's going on. But please go do this. It's a fun thing to do. Do it as together as a family. So, 2 Samuel 15 tells us that David is king in Jerusalem, king of all Israel. Things are good. He has a son called Absalom. Absalom is not happy with his father being king. Absalom wants to be the king. So he devises this devious plan. He goes down to the gates of the palace every day and he sits there and he waits. Because the people of Israel would come to the palace to ask their king for advice and for help and all kinds of things. That's why they called him the shepherd, because the king needed to help them. When they came to the gates, Absalom stopped them and he said, "The king's not available. The king doesn't have time for you. The king doesn't want to talk to you. But if you gave me a position of power, I would always be there for you. Look, I'm sitting at the gate." He does this for 4 years. You read it there. 4 years he does this behind his father's back. So in this time, he's dividing the people, dividing their loyalty, dividing everything. And they're thinking, yeah, David isn't a good king. Doesn't have time for it. Oh, look at Absalom. He's really, really good. At the end of the 4 years, he's got everything ready. He goes to his father and he says, "Dad, I made a vow to God that I would come back to Hebron to bring him a sacrifice because he brought me to Jerusalem and he gave me this life. So can I go to Hebron, please?" His father knows nothing. He says, "Of course, my son, go." In the meantime, what he was doing is that's where he would gather his troops. And he sends the messages to all of the people, "Get the troops ready because we're ready for action." And then the message comes to David. "David, your son Absalom is going to kill you. He wants to be king and he's surrounded himself with a huge army." So David decides to get out of Jerusalem so he can save Jerusalem. He goes to a place called Mahanaim. Don't worry about the name. He only leaves 10 concubines in Jerusalem. Flees to Mahanaim with his soldiers and all the folks around. 20,000 men in the end would die in a reckless, needless war. Before they go to war, David says to his soldiers, "When you find Absalom, be gracious to the young man." He's actually saying, "Don't kill him. He's just a young man. He doesn't know what he's doing." Absalom, during the fight, somehow gets his horse going underneath trees. His hair gets stuck in the trees. He's hanging there helpless. And then Joab, the leader of David's army, goes and he puts 3 javelins through his heart and he kills him. David is broken. That's the background to the story of Psalm 3. Now read with me. David fleeing from his son. All of these things are going to happen. This is what David says. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, so it's going to be a little different. Oh Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. But you, see, there's your biblical but. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and I slept. And yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I'm not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord. Rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face and shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. I want to talk to you about real life and real faith. How you live real faith in a real life. And the first thing I want you to notice in this psalm is that David's faith is a realistic, or let me call it a practical faith. It's not a pie in the sky when you die kind of faith up in the air. It's there where the rubber hits the road kind of faith. So let me talk about some of the characteristics of a realistic, practical, real-life faith. The first thing that I notice in this is that realistic faith in God, in real life where life happens, always starts with something called prayer. First line of defense. The whole psalm that David wrote is a prayer. It starts with a prayer. Oh, Lord, I'm before you. I have so many enemies. Can I tell you about my life? And it ends with, thank you, Lord. Victory comes from you. Bless me. Bless your people. The first line of defense in real life, where real life things happen, starts with prayer. And the reason I say this, you're saying, Aubrey, you're saying something we know. I don't think I'm saying something we all know. Because here's the thing. So often I'll talk to people when they're going through tough times and they'll say, the only thing now that's left for us is to pray. And I'm saying, stop, you got it wrong. That's an unrealistic faith. Because what you're saying is, I have tried everything else. And now that I've tried it all and it didn't work, now I'm going to try prayer. It's the other way around. It starts with me being on my knees and saying, Lord, life is happening. And I don't know about this life, and I'm uncertain about everything. But one thing I'm certain about, I can be on my knees before you, and I can ask, be my first line of defense. Look at David. He doesn't run to the soldiers first. He doesn't count the soldiers first. He doesn't check the weapons first. He's on his knees. He's running. And while he's running, he's praying, please, Lord. First line. In a realistic faith is prayer. I pray when the sun is blue and the sun's shining and the sky is blue and everything is great, but I also pray when the dark clouds come and my life is dark and I can't see beyond the clouds. I pray when I'm filled with joy and happiness, but I also pray when I don't know about tomorrow. I pray when my table is overflowing with food. And I pray when I open the cupboard and there's only one cup of rice left for my whole family. Look at David. Lord, my enemies. Lord, my life. But you, Lord. He prays when he sits on the throne as the king. But he prays that same prayer when he's running away barefoot with nothing. He prays when he sits on a throne with a crown on his head, and he prays that same prayer when he's running away with sackcloth on his head and nothing else around him. the first line in a realistic faith of defense is my time on my knees in the presence of the Lord. Lord, we prayed it this morning. I need you. Oh Lord, look at this world around us. We don't get it. But can we pray? That's why we pray for the leaders. Because they know as little as we do. But you know. First line. There's a second thing I want you to notice about realistic faith. A faith that lives in a real world. And that's this beautiful thing. That we can have confidence in God. Let me read these two verses for you again. Verse 3 and 4. Lord, I have many enemies, and they say God will never rescue him. And then David says, verse 3, but you, Lord, you are a shield around me. You are my glory. You are the one who holds my head high. What a beautiful image. When we're afraid and messed up, our head is always hanging. He says, no. You lift up my head. But then look at these words. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. You see, God doesn't move when we move. God doesn't run away when we run away. God isn't confused when we are confused and our life is messed up. God isn't messed up. God is always the same, stays the same, and God knows all about this. So often people will say, so where's God in all of this? David says, I'll give you an answer. I know exactly where God is. He is where he has always been. And then he uses the image that in his day, the people would understand. I call to your holy mountain and you answer me. Because in those days, they believed that Mount Zion was God's mountain. And God lived on Mount Zion. And nothing would happen when God was on Zion. And David says, Lord, you've always been there. You've never changed. You've never moved. And when I ask, this is my confidence. I know that you will answer from your holy mountain. Do you get that, my friends? So often, we want to measure. When things are good, God is there. When things are not good, God is distant. David says, whether I'm on the throne or whether I'm running away. Whether I'm afraid or whether I'm happy, the constant in my life is that God is always on his holy mountain. And when I ask and when I pray, God answers me. Not necessarily the way that I want. Can you remember 2, 3, 4 weeks ago? When does God do his best work? In the middle of the storm. When everything seems upside down, it starts with prayer. Not rowing, prayer. And what's the second thing? Confidence in God. Lord, if you say I can walk on the water, I will. And if he says you will. Because where is God? He is always in the same place. Never changes. Let me give you a real life story about this. A man called Martin Luther. You all know him as the man of the Reformation. Martin Luther says he was going through a really difficult time and his life was messed up. And he started speaking about God in Latin. And he called God Deus absconditus, which in English means the God who is absent. And he walked around his house talking about God is absent, God is absent. And one day he was sitting in his office and his wife walked in and she brought him tea. But she was dressed in black from head to toe. And he looked at her and he says, what's going on? Who died? And she looked at him and she says, I am mourning with you, your God who died. Because that's what you're talking about the whole day. And Luther says, it stunned him completely when he realized, what am I doing? What am I saying? when I'm saying God is absent, because God has never moved. God has never changed. God is always where he is. My friends, in this time where it's all uncertain, one thing is certain. I call to you, O Lord, and you answer me from your holy mountain. Third thing, and this will be my ending. Third thing that we learn from this psalm, from a realistic faith and what a realistic faith is. We don't only learn that the first defense is going to God in prayer. We don't just learn that God is always there and we can be confident in God. But the third thing that we see is that we can rest in the Lord and find our rest in the Lord. Let me read this to you. Verse 5. I lay down and slept, and yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I'm not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Realistic faith teaches me to hand my life over to the Lord and to rest in the Lord. I'm surrounded by 10,000 enemies, says David. What does he do? I lay down and I sleep, for the Lord watches over me. How often do we not do that? We worry to the nth degree. We lay awake and we care about so many things. Listen to a man who was surrounded by enemies, to a man whose son was after him to kill him. What does he say? I'm going to lie down and I'm going to sleep, because the Lord will watch over me. Give it to the Lord. Put your life in his hand in these times, and your concerns will become God's concerns. Your fears will become God's fears. Your strength that is gone will become perfect in God's strength, because his strength is perfect when our strength is gone. I will rest in the Lord. So what do we do? What do we do in these times of uncertainty and struggle? We do what David did. We write a psalm. We write a psalm that starts with, O Lord, look at my life. But you, Lord, and I will sleep, for the Lord will watch over me. And let me read that last line. For victory comes from you, Lord. And this is my prayer. May you bless your people. Amen. When we pray, Lord, it is our first thing that we do. For as we pray, we see you. We see you for who you are, the Lord who is on his holy mountain and who hears when we ask. We see you for who you are, the Lord who protects us and allows us to rest and to find peace. We see you for who you are, the Lord who blesses keeps us. We sing the words, be thou my vision, for this is who you are. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Thank you for your care and for your protection. Thank you that you have already seen the other side of this pandemic, that we may rest in you. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine.
As you face this week, and as you care for your loved ones, remember the Lord makes a promise that the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will answer your prayers, and He will give you His peace. Amen. Stay safe and keep good care of yourself and of all your loved ones. I will see you with God's grace next week.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Because I know.